Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. Our focus now turns to the business of airlines and travel. And joining us this morning via Skype from Los Angeles is Brian Summers, Senior Aviation Business Editor at Skift.com. We've got a lot to talk to Brian about today, including Allegiant Airlines and some 737 MAX news. Brian, I want to begin with 737 MAX just to give our listeners an update. I know there were some developments this weekend in the grounding of that airline after that aircraft after those two fatal crashes. Give us an update on what's going on with 737 MAX.
Yeah, Southwest Airlines met with the media this week, or I should say the pilot union, and they said that they expect the MAX will be flying at some point early next year, as early as January, which would be relatively early, and as late as March. They seem relatively confident about this, which is a good thing, because you may remember, Steve, you know, really for the last 6 months or so, everybody has been like, we have no idea. But at this point, it looks like we're getting closer to the jet being approved by regulators. Both Southwest and the pilots union have said after the approval, which could come by Thanksgiving, airlines will be able to get these planes flying within about 45 to 60 days. Southwest has said that they're going to give their pilots extra training, and it's actually going to take a lot of man hours just to get the planes ready. It's kind of like a car that you haven't driven for 8 months or so. It needs some work before it can fly again. Sounds like it's going to take up to 200 man hours per aircraft just to get the things ready to fly again.
Yeah, that's a lot. I know this safety issue is one that a lot of people have been watching and paying attention to. Does Boeing feel like they have found the fix to whatever the problem was?
It sounds like it, Steve. I think everybody is pretty confident that this airplane will be flying again fairly soon. Boeing is happy. The airlines are reasonably happy. Of course, they're going to want compensation at some point, but we're getting much, much closer, I think.
All right. Well, again, we'll stay tuned for that. Ryan, you've written a cool story this week about Allegiant Air, and I know this probably doesn't ring with a lot of people because it's just not one that we pay a lot of close attention to, but Allegiant Air is hoping that an NFL stadium in Las Vegas might boost its recognition a little.
Well, Steve, I suppose it already has boosted its recognition, right? You and I are talking about Allegiant Air, which is a pretty small airline that doesn't fly to Chicago, O'Hare, or Midway, on the radio in one of the biggest media markets in the country. This, of course, was Allegiant's plan. Allegiant is, as we said, a small airline, Las Vegas-based, but what they're going out and doing is they put their name on the new NFL football stadium in Las Vegas. People may know that the Oakland Raiders are moving to Las Vegas next year, and Allegiant has come out and said, we want to be a big player in the U.S. travel space, and the best way to do that is to align ourselves with America's most popular sport, the NFL. The interesting thing, Steve, is that Allegiant is Las Vegas's hometown airline. So in Las Vegas, I would tend to say that people know what it is. So what Allegiant is doing here by putting its name on the stadium is saying, okay, well, if you live in Chicago, if you live in Wisconsin, if you live in Michigan, you're going to watch maybe a Bears game, or dare I say on the radio, a Packers game. You're going to see your home team playing in Las Vegas. You're going to say, what is this stadium that they're playing at? Allegiant Stadium? What is this company? And then the next time you go and book travel, you might book Allegiant. One of the interesting things about Allegiant is they're kind of like Southwest in the way they distribute their tickets. So if you go to Kayak or you go to Priceline or you go to Orbitz, you're not going to see a ticket on Allegiant. You have to go directly to their website. So Allegiant really wants people in the rest of the country to know exactly what they are. They think the NFL will help them do that.
Yeah, and even though they don't fly out of Chicago directly, I'm looking at their flight map. Around the Midwest, they do fly into some cities that we're pretty close to, like Milwaukee and Rockford, and I believe there are a couple of places in Michigan and downstate Illinois as well. So it's not out of the question that people can't get a flight if they're listening to us today.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, you can go to somewhere like Rockford and maybe fly to Florida, and I think that you'll find, I mean, I don't want to do their advertising for them, but you'll find that they are a lot cheaper than most other airlines. They're a very low-cost airline. They make a lot of their money selling vacation packages, so you can buy the flight, the hotel, the car, and get a really cool deal that way. But the problem is that if you're in Chicago and you want to go to Florida, you're used to going to certain websites to look. You never look at Allegiant. You never look at Rockford, and so you don't know the airlines there. Maybe the NFL will help with that.
Do you think this is part of a bigger plan, a marketing plan, perhaps at Allegiant to expand into some bigger markets?
Yeah, Allegiant has said they want to expand into some bigger markets, and they're doing so already. They're still avoiding the Chicagos of the world. So when they say they're expanding to bigger cities, they're in Cincinnati now, they're in Pittsburgh, they're in Memphis, so mid-sized cities like that. They do fly to LA, and they do fly to the New York area as well. But they treat those like vacation destinations. So they're bringing people from smaller cities to Los Angeles so that they can, say, go to Disneyland or something like that. But in the case of Rockford, what they're doing is nobody's going on vacation to Rockford, of course. So they're taking you from Rockford to Florida on vacation. And Florida is the destination, and Rockford is the place that you originate from.
Ryan, I want to talk about another story that I saw this survey that was posted yesterday by Bankrate.com that shows nearly 46% of U.S. adults who have one of these airline or hotel rewards programs let their points or miles expire at some point. That's a big number of people.
It is a big number of people, Steve, but I'm not surprised. I'm a travel expert. I have points in so many different places, in hotels and airlines. I probably have more than 10 point accounts. I think there are a lot of people out there like that. Some of these expire, some of them don't. Even if you're on top of it all the time, it's very hard to really know what points you have where. So it's just so hard. Some companies are coming out now and saying that their points or miles are not going to expire. We talked about that recently with United Airlines. They said you can keep the points forever. Look, I'd love to tell people you should always be on top of your points. You probably should be, because they are worth something. But I know that everyone has more important things to worry about, right, than when their miles and points expire. So, you know, try to pay attention, but sometimes you're going to lose these things, and it kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I was going to ask along those lines of paying more attention, are there any other things people can do to make sure that they're on top of this?
You know, I think that there are some apps or things, websites that will monitor your miles and points accounts for you and tell you when they expire and how to use them best. But I don't use them myself. It's all my information about my accounts is in my brain, and I do lose track. But I think for a lot of people, you just try to keep track of these things as best you can.
There's another story out there that I think a lot of people heard this story in the last week or so. Thomas Cook, this travel and vacation sort of company that did vacation packages, has folded. Is this more of a canary in a coal mine story about some of these companies?
Yeah, and, you know, there are a couple of things at stake here. One of them is, as you mentioned, Steve, Thomas Cook was a package operator. So they sold air, hotel, car packages. You know, we talked about Allegiant doing that earlier in our segment here. And, you know, that's still a good business, but it isn't what it used to be. You know, we have the internet at our fingertips. People like to buy travel as they want to. So they buy the flight at one point exactly where they want to go. Then they buy the hotel. Then they buy the car. So they're not looking for packages in the way that they used to be 20 years ago. You know, you'd fly from the United States to Europe. You would have no idea what to do or where to stay. So it would be easier to buy the package. Now you do it yourself. So that was one thing. The other mistake that Thomas Cook made, if you can believe it, Steve, is in the last few years, they were opening physical stores in Europe so that you would go in and pick your vacation package. It was like they didn't realize that the internet existed. And truthfully, even today, if you're going to buy a vacation package, you're going to buy it on the internet, not on a store. So that was one thing. And then another big trend that we are seeing is Thomas Cook not only was a package operator, but they ran an airline in Europe. It's a tough time to run an airline in Europe. There are many more airlines in Europe than in the United States. There's so much competition. And believe it or not, Steve, we at Skift, where I work, have calculated that 7 European airlines have gone out of business in 2019. That's incredible.
Okay, Brian, good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Steve.
Brian Summers, Senior Aviation Business Editor for Skift.com. Make sure you follow Brian on Twitter at Brian Summers and Skift as well at Skift. And sign up for their weekly airline innovation report, which comes into your inbox at skift.com/airline.